You know, it'd probably be good for us to keep that in mind. We've heard that song a long time ago when we were very young. And I think it'd be good for us to remember it's closer today than it was back then. And to live our life each day to where there'd be nothing else that I need to take care of should he call for me. Because, you know, somehow, if we could look back over the last couple of years of all that has been involved with COVID, the thousands of people that have gone out into eternity because of it, it should make us all think seriously. One thing it does to me is makes me realize, you know what? Life, we're hanging on a string. We can think we are so healthy and be gone in such a short time. And Todd is an example of that. Just a short time ago, he had no clue that he could be gone so quick. We don't have as much notice as he has had. So we want to be ready. What I'd like to share tonight, and over the last few weeks we've been looking at this, is the name of Jesus, our mental book that we have of looking at what all his characteristics were, the things about him, his abilities, and being able to recognize when I have trouble that he is much bigger than any problem I could face. But what I'd like to do tonight is, if I put a title to this, it would be the name of Jesus applied. You know, if it's nothing more than just thoughts in my head, but that's as far as it goes, it's not much for me. But how do I take these past few weeks that we have been looking at, what does the name of Jesus involve? And now I apply it in my life, it becomes different then. But before I look at the application of it, I would like to look just a little bit more at who Jesus was and what his abilities were. So I'd like to look at a few verses. One of them is Matthew 28:28-18. And Jesus came and spake to them, saying, all power is given to me in heaven and in earth. Yes. So as I'm thinking about this and I'm building this book in this library of my mind of who Jesus is, I need to remember this verse right here. All power is given to Christ. All power is given to me in heaven and in earth. Yes. So I thought of a few things that I have not put in my mental book yet that shows that he is in control of all things. One of those was in the book of Mark, the 4th chapter. This was an impressive to people around him. Mark 4:37. We read this where, remember they were out in the ship, said there arose a great storm of wind, the waves beat into the ship, so it was now full. He was in the hinder part of the ship asleep on a pillow, and they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And what was it there in Matthew 28:18? All power is given to me in heaven and in earth. And look at what he did in the 39th verse. He arose, rebuked the wind, and said to the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. You know, that's an amazing verse. That would have been amazing to those riding in the boat with him. Thought they were going to perish, and now all he did was rebuke the wind and said to the sea, peace be still. And down here in the 41st verse, it said, they feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? Why do they obey him? He was the one that created them. He was there when it was all created. And then I've thought of another one. This is in Matthew. Matthew 17. We're coming up on the end of the year. Have any of you gotten your property tax statement? Yep. Says you need to pay this money by the end of the year, at least half of it by the end of the year. Okay, they had this kind of thing happen with Jesus. 17:27. Well, 24, they came into Capernaum. They that received tribute money came to Peter, and he said, "Doth not your master pay tribute?" And so he goes to Jesus about it. And here's what Jesus says about it, the 27th verse. "Notwithstanding, lest we should offend them, go to the sea, cast an hook, take up the fish that first cometh up. When thou hast opened his mouth, thou shalt find a piece of money. That take and give to them for me and thee." Now talk about, okay, what are we trying to do? This name of Jesus and what he can do. Was able to tell Peter, tell you what, you go out to the sea, the first fish you catch, look in his mouth, because there's going to be the money to pay our taxes with. You know, these kind of things, what they should make me do as I store these away, they're not just interesting stories like we heard when I was little. But I have some stormy seas sometime in my life. Yeah. It's not a boat, but it's things that are as bad as that can happen in each of our lives. And if I can realize, you know what, I'm only this far away, all Jesus has got to do is rebuke the wind and say, "Peace, be still," to any storm in my life, and it can happen. I can get worked up about what's happening in our nation, what's not right about the taxes that they're doing or whatever. Jesus didn't get bogged down with that. Remember what he said, pay to Caesar what belongs to Caesar. Pay to God what belongs to God. And if we get to the place that he needs to, he can just have the money in a fish's mouth and take care of the needs that we have. I think these are places that are a reminder to me that this name of Jesus involves so much. He was there when Genesis 1 came about. He is in control of all things. And there is one more that tells me that before we start applying the name of Jesus. John, in the 21st chapter, and the 3rd verse, this is when Simon Peter went fishing. They caught nothing. And then Jesus talked to them. They didn't recognize who it was. He asked them in the 5th verse, "Jesus saith to them, Children, have ye any meat?" And they answered him, "No." And he said to them, "Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find." You know, they were fishermen by trade. They knew how to fish. But what he's saying is, I tell you what, take your net and put it on the other side of the boat, and you will find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it in for the multitude of fishes. And they recognize this is the Lord to be able to do this. So I'm thinking for us today, maybe these three things won't be something that happens to us literally, but it can sure happen in our lives sometimes, to where there can be some storms. There can be some things just don't seem to be moving, don't seem to be working out. And Jesus has the power of making a change in them. So now I would like for a little while for us to look at, how do we apply all these things that we've looked at over the last few weeks? How do we apply them in our lives? There is a song that I saw. It says, "It's out of your hands. You've done all you can do. You've given God the problem. It's no longer up to you. You've prayed the prayer of faith. You're standing on God's word. And while you're waiting on God's answer, he has a question for you. Is there anything too hard for God? Who's got a problem that's beyond his power to solve? Are there situations that he's not the master of? Is there anything too hard for God?" And you know, as I build my book in my mind of who Jesus is, it wasn't just 2,000 years ago he had power, but he has power to direct in my life today. So how does this apply to daily living? I was thinking, you know, when the disciples were walking with Jesus every day, they had no need to do anything in the name of Jesus. He was right there with them all the time. So that came about when they were no longer with him. Do you remember the first time this is the first time anyhow that I found it, was over in Luke Because you know what? If we were walking literally with Jesus today, if he were here with us, you know what? We could just go straight to him with our questions. Peter did. Yes. Lord, how many times should I forgive somebody that's done me wrong? We wouldn't have to be doing anything in the name of Jesus. He's right here with us. But then things can change. Over in Luke, the 10th chapter, here's something now that is changing for them. They're not all just walking with him. 10th chapter, Luke, first verse. After these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also, and he sent them two and two before his face into every city and place whither he himself would come. Now these are going out, and he's telling them how to go out, what to do. And so they come back to him in the 17th verse. And do they come back and say, I tell you what, we have really got some power. We were able to do some wonderful things. Look at what they said in the 17th verse. The 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us. Now what if they'd have just stopped right there? Said, I tell you what, we are somebody. The devils are subject to us. But they didn't stop there. The reason is they are subject to us through thy name. Now they have started traveling. Jesus wasn't with them. But you know what? It was as if he were right beside them. Because everything that they were doing through his name, as if he were there with them. You know, we sing this song sometimes. In the name of Jesus, we have the victory. In the name of Jesus, Satan has to flee. You know, that song is true, but it's all because of that first part. In the name of Jesus. You know, we could stand up to the devil ourselves and tell him, and he would laugh in our face. We have no power. It says, oh, tell me, who can stand before us when we call on that great name? Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, we have the victory. And then we can go a step farther. The next verse was, I command you, Satan, in the name of the Lord, to take up your weapons and flee. For the Lord hath given me authority to stomp all over thee. Yeah. Now, you know, the only way I'm going to be able to do it, though, is I'm going to have to go in the name of Jesus. Right. He's not with me in person. You know, I would have no fear if he were right there with me in person. He's not with me in person. But you know what? He can be just the same as if he were. If I have the faith to believe that in the name of Jesus, he is able to help me with these things. Now, there's somebody else that tried something, and I don't want to get in this place. This is in Acts, the 19th chapter and the 11th verse. It says, God wrought special miracles by the hand of Paul. And down in the next verse, it says, and the evil spirits went out of them. Then it says, certain of the vagabond Jews took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits. They've been watching. How does this work? The disciples have been using the name of Jesus or Paul, and they said, decided to use that name, saying, we adjure you by Jesus, whom Paul preaches. Now, you know, this is kind of several generations down the loop. This isn't a good, clear contact with Jesus that they're using. We're just going to call on the name of Jesus. We're going to adjure you by Jesus, whom Paul preaches. There were seven sons of one Sceva, a Jew, and chief of the priest, which did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, Paul I know, who are you? You know what? Before I can just take that name and say, boy, I got some power now, I'm going to have to make sure I know him and he knows me. Because it said, and the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them, overcame them, prevailed against them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. So I'm going to have to realize, you know what? I've got to be acquainted with Jesus. I can't just go claiming his name to have the power, and I'm not acquainted with him. You know, there's a verse over in Matthew 7 and 21. It's kind of hard to imagine that someone could say they cast out devils and they weren't acquainted with Christ, or more than that, He said he was not acquainted with them. 7:21. Not everyone that saith to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? Look there. Jesus' name is being used. And in thy name we've cast out devils. And in thy name we've done many wonderful works. And then will I profess to them, I never knew you. So you know what? It's not enough for me to just say, I'm going to use the name of Jesus because I understand that it's powerful. Yes. It's saying there's many. It's not just, okay, there's going to be one or two that fall in this category. But many are going to say to me in that day, we used your name, Lord. Thought we were doing well. I want to be able to know him. I want him to know me.
Amen.
And then I want to understand the power of applying the name of Jesus. You know, I was thinking about this. The religious leaders thought their troubles were over when Jesus died on the cross and was buried. They were so sure that it was over that when the soldiers came to him with the news that Jesus had risen, he was no longer there. What did they do with that? Did they say, we believe in Christ ourselves now? No. What they did was I said, I'll tell you what, we will pay you sums of money to say that the disciples came and stole him away rather than to say that he arose. Now, that solved the problem. There's no more problem now. Soldiers have been paid, said that the disciples came and stole him away, so it's all over. But you know what? The Bible doesn't end then. There's a book of Acts that comes along with people that applied the name of Jesus. You know, the disciples, when you see that start in the second chapter of Acts, they took on no credit of their own. But what they did was they had been with Christ and they applied the name of Jesus. I'd like to look at some of those places. Acts in the second chapter, because the religious leaders thought everything is taken care of now. We'll have no problem. But you know what? Their problems had only just begun. In the second chapter of Acts and in the 36th verse, if you read the message that Peter preached, you know, it was able to prick their hearts. It says in the 36th verse, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ. And it was able to prick their hearts. Now, when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts, and they said to Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? What was the advice? Peter said to them, 38th verse, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus for the remission of sins. So what? Here comes Jesus back into the picture again. Repent. I was looking at the commentary on that. It says a hearty purpose to turn from sin and receive Jesus as the Messiah and the Savior, and a determination to become his followers and be devoted to his service. Not exactly what the religious leaders were looking for. The name of Jesus is coming up again. And in 41, then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Can you imagine what that was like to the religious leaders? This thing is over. We have paid it off. It's over. It won't be happening anymore. And here, 3,000 people have turned back to Christ. Repent and be baptized. You know, they could have just started off, okay, we won't mention Jesus anymore. We're just going to start a group. You need to repent and be baptized. No, you need to repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus. He is the one that can help you. So it goes on down. I was thinking, how many days had passed from the time that Jesus was crucified to now? Very few. You know, this thing is still fresh in people's minds. The day of Pentecost was just so many days from the time that he arose. So it was fresh in a lot of people's minds. And so we go to the next chapter, the third chapter. First verse, now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And we read this, we hear about the man that was at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful. He's been lame from his mother's womb. And when he saw Peter and John about to go in the temple, he asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. Now that sounds like the beginning of drawing some attention to myself. You want to see this? You look at me. What's fitting to happen? And then he said, he gave heed to them. Expecting to receive something of them, Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Here is the name of Jesus applied at that time. When the rulers thought it was all over, now Jesus' followers are not taking any credit to themselves. Jesus is not there to do any healing himself, but by them saying, in the name of Jesus, it's as if he were there, right there with them. And what I'm looking at with this is, does it have to be any different for us today? In the name of Jesus, it's not just a memory in my mind of what all he can do, but it is, he is gone, it's true. But you know what? They recognize it's as if he were right here with us. He is able to do it. And there, people started praising God, and it finishes out that chapter. But there, that did not finish it out though, because now the rulers are coming. They're coming back. But there's something that I would like for us to look at for a little bit. You know, there was a time when the disciples walked with Jesus and they could ask him any question. He could give them the answers. And then things started changing. And I just want to insert this because I think it has something for us today in our prayers. I would like to go to John, the 16th chapter. Because see, things are changing for the disciples. They no longer had Jesus with them that they could say, Jesus, we got the, remember when Jesus went by, was it Bartholomew? No, the man that was on the side, blind man, Bartimaeus. You know what? That was Jesus along. The disciples didn't need to do anything. They were just walking along with him. He's gone now. But through that same name, they are able to have power. But now Jesus is going away. Let's look at John, the 16th chapter and the 22nd verse. It says, and ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. In that day ye shall ask me nothing. In other words, there's coming a time where it's going to be totally different than it is now. The way it is right now, Peter, you can ask me how often should I forgive. Someone else can ask me something else. But there's coming a time that you'll ask me nothing that same way. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Yes. See, he's given instruction before he leaves. I'm not going to be here for you to be able to talk to the same way as before. There's things fitting to open up that you'll be able to talk to the Father. But there's a way to be able to do it. And it is, you'll be able to ask the Father in my name. And the instructions were changing. So I was looking at the commentary. It said they had not sought God through Jesus as a mediator, but they had directly applied to Jesus himself. Said he now tells them in the future their requests were to be made to God in Jesus' name, and that God, through the influence of his Spirit, would make known what Jesus himself would do as if he were present with them. So there's another verse in John 16, and 24. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask, ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. Said, rejoice in the privilege of being permitted to draw nigh to God through Jesus. Though Jesus would be bodily present, yet their blessing would be still the same. Though he would not be with them, the blessing would still be the same as if he were with them. In the name of Jesus. You know, when they're saying to that man in the third chapter, in the name of Jesus, rise and walk. You know what that did? No credit would go to the person. You know, we have in our services, when we pray for someone, I know Sister Maxine has said this before, we will take no credit. We will take nothing, no glory. Why is that? Because God himself said, my glory I will not give to another. So when we find them throughout the Bible, Paul did it, the disciples did it. In the name of Jesus, rise and walk. It takes away all that man can do. Man is nothing more than just presenting Christ to them. And I think that's real important for us to be able to look at. So then we go on to the fourth chapter. The religious leaders had thought that the troubles with Jesus were over, but they're dealing with them now. And let's take a look. You know, it is amazing to look at Peter today in Acts and the Peter that was at Jesus' trial. The one that said, I don't know the man. And now this one, quite a difference there. So they were asked a question in Acts, the fourth chapter, and in the seventh verse. Because you know what, this is a pretty tough place to be in. Because when 3,000 souls have been saved because of preaching, and another, it has a place it tells about here, in the fourth verse of the fourth chapter. Howbeit many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. You know, you get 5,000 people to make a change, it's going to make a change in a community. Yeah. And it affected the rulers. And here they caught them, seventh verse. When they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power or by what name? You know, even there, the leaders are recognizing there is something about a name being used. Yeah. By what name have you done this? Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said to them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if this day we be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, and here he cuts loose, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which is become the head of the corner. And then let's always remember this 12th verse. Neither is there salvation in any other. Yes. You know, today when there are so many, we see the sign, bumper sticker that says coexist. Yes. We have all these different avenues that you can make it. Remember this 12th verse. Neither is there salvation in any other. There is, and here's this name again. There is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. This name of Jesus that we're talking about is more than just the name. It's what goes with it. With the weeks that we have been talking about this, we haven't even gotten to the important parts of it, of his sacrifice and the blood that he shed. But there is no other name under heaven given whereby we must be saved. And I was thinking about these. This has dealt with my heart. Because you know what's been easy for me whenever I'm even talking to someone about getting saved? Is you need to tell God you're sorry. Yeah. Tell God you're sorry. You know what needs to be done? I need to more put Jesus Christ's name into it.
Yeah.
This says there ain't another name given whereby you can be saved. It's going to be the sacrifice of Jesus that saves anyone. And I need to be pointing people to Christ.
Mm-hmm.
There is a song that I heard. The Coles sang it. If you get a chance, listen to it. I found it on a preaching website. This song says, Jesus, how sweet is thy name to my ear. Since I found him, I've not been the same. Truly his love drives away every fear. And oh, there is power in his name. No other name, no other name. Only Jesus salvation can give. And only through him can we enter the fold, changed and made worthy to live. Jesus, the giver of everything good, he knoweth the needs of a man, healeth my soul, for he said that he would. And oh, there is power in his name. No other name. You know what? You remember the verse that we just read in Matthew 7? Many are going to be able to say, Lord, haven't we done all these things, and it's not going to be good enough. I have to remember, there's no other name. Only Jesus salvation can give. There is some instruction for us, and we need to just keep this in the back of our head, because we're at a time right now where it seems like evil is called good, good is called evil. There are many people that don't even believe in God. But there is a verse that I want us to remember. Philippians, the second chapter, and 8 through 11. Being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself. Yes. Took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself. Became obedient to death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God hath highly exalted him and given him a name, not just Jesus, but what all is involved in this. You remember when Jesus was praying the prayer in the 17th chapter of John? Father, I want you to glorify me with the glory that I had before the world was. Can you imagine what all that involved? Father, I'm down here as a man. They're spitting on me. They're doing all these things to me. Father, I long to be glorified like I was before. Up there at the right hand of God. Today he's there making intercession for us. At that time he saw that he had a death coming to him. And he was able to have in his mind what it was before and what he had given up for us. That's part of that name of Jesus. This one says that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. There are other verses that say every knee is going to bow, whether it's in life or whether it's in death. You know, and it's amazing to me when we think about this. Just a few days ago, Todd's knees bowed to God just before he's called out into eternity. This says every knee should bow. You know what? I'm so thankful that the Lord dealt with his heart in a way that he responded and said, I want it. Because the time is coming, every knee will bow. And you think about that. Today it seemed like it's not possible that will happen. There's so many people that are against Christ. But it's going to happen. Whether it happens in life or whether it happens in death. You know what? I want my knees to bow in life. I want to recognize who he is, the power that he has, the power that's available for me in the name of Jesus. There's no other name given whereby we must be saved. There are a couple other verses that I want to look at about this. In Ephesians 5, because it comes on down, it's not just the disciples or Apostle Paul, but there is something for us to do in the name of Jesus. Ephesians 5 and 20. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. You see how his is never left out of it. It's still a part of it all. Giving thanks to God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then here is another one in Colossians. Colossians, the third chapter, is some instruction for me. 3:17. Whatsoever you do, you know, this covers a lot for us. It covers what I'm going to do tomorrow. Whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. In other words, living my life as if he were right here beside me. Because you know what? Really, he is. Giving thanks to God and the Father by him. So there's a lot of instruction for us about applying the name of Jesus in our life. But I want to look as we close tonight. Jesus has gone away and he had another plan. You know, we've spent several weeks looking at the name of Jesus. But you know, I think it's going to be very important. I know Sister Sarah has said that she started it with the children about the Holy Spirit. You know, it's going to be real important for me to understand the role of the Holy Spirit. Jesus himself, you know what? I would have loved to have lived in a place where I could just walk up to Jesus like Peter did and say, Lord, how often should I forgive somebody that trespasses against me? That would have been nice. But you know, even back then, it wasn't so good because you had to go find him. It's true, there were some people with him right then, but someone else, you remember when others needed him, they had to go find out where he was to get to him. There's a different plan for us today. And you know what? I want to be just as thankful for that plan as I am for Jesus, because he instructed them in John the 16th chapter. You know, he's telling them, I'm going to be going away in a little bit. 16:6, because I have told you these things, you know, he's letting them know I'm fixing to leave here. Sorrow hath filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. If I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. So I'm looking at another one in John 14:25. What will that Comforter do for us? 25th verse of the 14th chapter. These things have I spoken to you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send. Oh, here's that again. He's going to send it in my name. Yes. He shall teach you all things. So the replacement, Jesus is going away, but here's coming a replacement. It's expedient that I go away. If I don't go away, why would the Holy Spirit come? But because I'm going away, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things. You know, individually, he will do it. We don't have to go over into Jerusalem and say, he was here last week. Where can you tell me? You remember when the multitudes would try to follow Jesus and tomorrow he's gone from here. Now we're searching. Where do we find him? He's gone. This is replacing all of that. He will teach you all things. Each one of us, he will teach us all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. So what I would like to do, and my desire is that the Lord would open it to us all, the value of the Holy Spirit. Amen. It's as valuable as Jesus. Yes. It was the replacement when Jesus went away. And what does it have to do for me? This is pretty valuable. You know, we hear so many things. We're living in a time today where people say you don't have to walk this carefully to make heaven your home. You know, I look at people like with Todd. once he stepped over, you know, he would be willing to do anything that needed to be done to make it. What risk would we take? Here, the Holy Spirit wants to teach us all things, wants to help us to be able to find the balance in our life to where should I be called out into eternity as fast as he was, everything can be clear between me and the Lord. Amen. He will bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. And here's that peace. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world giveth, give I to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. On the commentary in this was saying, Father will send him in my name on my account to perfect my work, to execute it as if I were applying it myself to the hearts of men. Not just in one place, but across the globe, he is able to minister to each of us. I'm thankful for that. And I want to walk with a carefulness in my life. I want to honor Christ in my actions. I want to do those things that will please him. And I want the Holy Spirit to be pleased to dwell in my life. Remember in Isaiah, it may have been even given this morning, you'll hear a word behind you when you get ready to turn to the left or get ready to turn to the right saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. To me, that is a perfect picture of what the Holy Spirit wants to do in our life. Is tomorrow be dwelling in me to where when I am about to make a decision, and you know, many of our decisions, I cannot see how far that thing will trail out and how the end of it will be. I can make a decision as simple as, I want to make a change in my job. I've got a job offer that pays more money, and so that's got to be the way to go. You know what the Holy Spirit would be able to tell me, or be walking close enough to ask the Holy Spirit to block it,
yes. If
that is not it. And I won't turn my hand one way or another to force it to happen. You know, I believe there's a place for us to walk to where we could live that way. To where I can tell the Lord, Lord, I see it this way. I believe this is the best way to go, but I've got it open to you. I want you to show me as I would turn to the left or turn to the right. You just speak. And I don't want it to have to be a whirlwind. I don't want it to have to be a fire or an earthquake. I want to be able to hear a still small voice.
Amen.
And I want to be able to recognize that voice, because there are many voices that's gone out into the world today. But I am so thankful that in the name of Jesus, there's a lot of power. And now the Holy Spirit wants to be able to come in his place. He's no longer here in person, but it can be better for us because now he can be with each one of us. He said he'd be with us, but he will be in you. And I am thankful for that. So maybe in the future, even as I look at it, let's all look at it. What was Jesus' plan? What was God's plan for the Holy Spirit to be able to guide me in my life? Because I tell you, I want to make heaven my home.
Yes.
The devil has got a plan for each of us to miss it, no matter how long it takes. You know, we've heard before, doesn't matter if it's a 1-year plan, a 5-year plan. You know, it can be little things, even as much as just a little bitterness that springs up and it troubles us. And the Holy Spirit wants to be able to tell me that is not worth missing heaven for and to be able to guide me in my life. I am so thankful for that. I desire your prayers. I want to be led by that Spirit.